Welcome to Dr. Anderson's Bible Class, with teaching from God's Word by Dr. George A. Anderson. Now, with today's study, here's Dr. Anderson.
We have come in our study of 1 Samuel to chapter 17, the story of David's victory over Goliath of Gath, the Philistine giant and challenger of Israel. And the material here in 1 Samuel 17 tells us about how how Jesse's three older sons went out to battle with Saul, Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah. And David the younger, he'd played for Saul as a musician, but now he's been sent back home and he's back feeding sheep again. And the father, Jesse, said, "Listen, take some groceries up to your brothers in the army so they'll have enough to eat." And it says they sent parched corn, not our kind of corn now, but roasted grain, and then loaves of bread, and take these 10 cheeses, big milk cheeses, to the captain of their 1,000. And that means they can be distributed. And so he wants David to see how they're getting on. And David comes, and finally he reaches the brothers and greets them. And at this point, Goliath, the Philistine giant, comes out and utters his daily challenge. You see, back in those days when you didn't have rifles, you could come if you were up on a mountain, and the enemy is over on the opposite mountain, you can come within shouting distance and be perfectly safe. And so it says, the men of Israel, when they saw him, fled from him. They were sore afraid. And David talks to the brothers and says, what will be done to the man that kills this Philistine? And they say, well, he'll be rewarded. And David's beginning to indicate that he is willing to challenge Goliath. Now, the older brother heard about this, and he gets angry. He said, what'd you come down here for anyhow? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and evil of heart. You come down so you can see the battle. And he's really saying, listen, go on back home, you. And David said, what have I done? And David talks to some other folks, but word of what David's been saying get to Saul, and then Saul wants to see him. And David's going to say to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of this giant. Thy servant will go and fight the Philistine. I'm ready to go. None of the soldiers would, you see. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against the Philistine. You're still a youth, a teenager, I suppose we'd say. And he's a man of war for many years. And David said, listen, when I was keeping my father's sheep, there came a lion and a bear, and they were stealing lambs out of the flock. And I went after him, after these animals, one at a time, of course, and delivered the lamb out of his mouth. And then it says, he rose up against me. This will be the animal. I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Now, here's how David feels about this. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He's just publicly denounced anybody that's on the other side, the side of the true God. And David says, the way God delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he'll deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. Here's the faith of this young man who eventually is going to write most of the Psalms in the book of Psalms. And Saul said to David, all right, you go, and God be with you. Saul recognizes this as real faith. And Saul tries to put his armor on David, his helmet and the coat of mail, the protective metal garment, plates of metal sewed onto a garment. And David tried these and took them off. He said, I haven't proved them. I haven't tested them, and I can't go with these. And then David takes his staff, his stick, and says he chose five smooth stones out of the valley, out of the brook, put them in his shepherd's bag. And he had a sling. Now, these folks made much of using slings, and they learned to throw stones with them with a real degree of accuracy. 60 years ago, we boys used to play with them in this country, but we didn't develop the kind of accuracy that folks developed in the East with slings in the long ago. And David goes up to face Goliath, and this Philistine, it says, he disdained him. He scorned him. He despised him. He looked down on him, and he said, am I a dog that you coming out against me with a stick? David had his staff, and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said, come, and I'll give your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said, listen, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. Here's David's faith. Here's David's confidence and trust in God that's going to bring him through this victorious. And David says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'm going to smite you, and it'll be God's victory. And everybody's going to know that the Lord saves not by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he'll give you into our hand. And the Philistine says he arose and came to draw nigh to meet David. David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David gets one of these round, smooth rocks and threw it with a sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. And he simply fell down. And David's going to take the Philistine's sword. He didn't have one of his own. And cut off his head and take it back in victory. Now, the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines. In other words, when the Philistines saw their champion fall, they started to run. And it says the Israelites spoiled the Philistine tents. David takes the head of the Philistine and brings it to Jerusalem, and he put his armor in the tent. You'd be surprised how many folks are worried about verses like this. It says, David took the head of this giant and brought it to Jerusalem. And they say, well, wait a minute. I thought over another 40 pages from where we are, it's going to tell about David capturing Jerusalem. How could he take this to Jerusalem before it was captured? And, of course, the point is that way back yonder in the time of the Judges, the main city of Jerusalem was taken, and just sharply up the mountain, there was a fortress that didn't fall till David became the real leader himself. There's no problem here with this in history. Anyway, when Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he at first asked, who is that boy? Well, you see, he'd be some distance away. That doesn't mean he hadn't talked with him personally and told him to go. But he said, who is that young fellow? Maybe he remembered David and hadn't really identified him. Here's Saul's mental problem. You see, David had been his musician in years gone by. Anyway, David, it says, returned from the slaughter of the Philistines. And Abner, a cousin of Saul, who's over the army, brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine. And how this is the victory that God gave over Goliath. Chapter 18 tells about the friendship between David and Jonathan, Saul's son. Theoretically, Jonathan should have been the next king, but David's going to be the king. And it says Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan and David made a covenant. They loved each other. Jonathan's going to give to David his robe, his garments, his sword, his bow, and his belt, his girdle. We've talked about this word covenant. It's such a basic word in the Old Testament, used, I think, 286 times. And yet, in our generation, very seldom do you hear people talking about the covenant. And I think I've mentioned to you that what's taking place is that the word covenant has gotten lost, not entirely, but nearly so, in translation. This word, again, used several hundred times in the Old Testament, translated into Greek, diatheke, and then into Latin as testamentum. The U-M was dropped off from the Latin, testamentum, and you have the English word testament. And we talk about the Old Testament. That's what I call it and plan to keep on doing. We talk about the New Testament. That's all right. But in this translation process, you started with the word covenant and ended up with the Latin word testament, without the Latin ending, of course. And the point is that individuals made covenants. David and Jonathan are bound together, and here are the gifts that are given in token of the covenant. Years later, when David becomes king, Saul and Jonathan are dead. The first thing David's going to do is to look and see if there are any of the Jonathan's kinfolks to whom he can show kindness because of this covenant. And they find lame Mephibosheth, a young man whose feet had been crushed when his nurse fled in a war. And they never had been set, and so he couldn't walk. But David's going to treat him as a member of the royal family. All right, we have all kinds of stories. We can't talk about it today, but there are just dozens and dozens of them in the Bible. Covenants between nations. Covenants between individuals. And most important, I think, the covenants between people and God. Sometimes groups, sometimes individuals. As Christians, when we become God's people, we make a covenant with Him. And I've mentioned that this is symbolized in the Lord's Supper, where there's the eating to make the covenant or renew the covenant, and the drinking, two regular ways of formally making a covenant. And Jesus, when He instituted the Lord's Supper, was going to say, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." And he's quoting Jeremiah 31:31, Jesus is, where the Hebrew word is unquestionably covenant. All right, David expresses his friendship in this covenant with Jonathan. Now, in chapter 18, here's a story that's going to give you a picture of what Saul is really like. The ladies in the that area, it says they went out to sing and to dance, and they had their musical instruments, and they had a song that they made up. Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. After killing Goliath, you see, David gets to be the national hero. And verse 8 of chapter 18, 1 Samuel, says Saul was very wroth. He was angry. And this thing displeased him. And he said, in this song, they've ascribed to David 10,000s and to me just thousands. And here's Saul with his jealousy. He can't take this. The popular song shakes him up so that he just can't take it. And then when David was playing, David's back playing music for Saul again to try to keep him calm down, and Saul's just going to throw a javelin at him, at the musician. And Saul says, "I'll smite him to the wall with it." And David, of course, escapes. He sees the thing coming and dodges. And then verse 12 says Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and had departed from Saul. And so Saul's going to try to get David killed. He's going to make him a captain over 1,000. I suppose in our language he'd be something like a major in the army, maybe a little higher. And he went out and went in before the people. And Saul saw the proper life of David. And Saul decides, well, now, the way to get him in trouble, I'll let him marry my oldest daughter, Merab. And he's going to say to David, "You fight the Lord's battles. And let not my hand be upon him." In other words, Saul said, "I don't want to kill him myself. Let's get the Philistines to kill him. And if we put him in enough conflict, they'll take care of it." And when the time comes for the wedding, Merab, Saul's daughter, is married to somebody else. But little sister, her name's Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And it says this thing pleased Saul. "I'll give her to him, and she'll be a snare to him. He'll go out and fight so bravely for her that he'll get himself killed." And so it's arranged that David marry Saul's daughter, Michal. And Saul gets word whispered to David, "You don't have to pay for her. You don't have to come with this big dowry or big gift." You see, in the long ago, in the East, it wasn't just with the Israelites. The idea was this family, the parents of the bride, they said, "We've spent all these years raising this girl. We had to feed her and educate her and clothe her, and you ought to pay for her." And it was a normal thing to have to pay. You see, if we did that in our country, you know, they'd say, "Oh, we spent $20,000 getting this girl through college and all the other things, so give us $100,000 and then you can marry her." Well, that's not the way we do it, fortunately, I suppose, for us men. But here's Saul whispering to David by a third party, "Listen, just go down and kill 100 Philistines, and that'll be what you bring me. You win a new victory in this war with our constant enemies, and that'll be your payment for this girl." Well, David and his assistants, and David had some personal followers by this time, go down and kill not 100, but 200. And this, again, was in the middle of the war. It wasn't that he just went over and decided to kill some Philistines. And then he's married to Michal. It says she loved him. Anyway, the battle goes on with the Philistines. Now, at this point, in chapter 19, Saul's going to say to Jonathan, his son, and to his servants, "Listen, kill this fellow David. Kill my son-in-law." And the record here is that Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And he'd made this covenant with David, and so he goes and tells him, "Saul, my father, is trying to kill you. Be real careful, and you better hide tonight." And then Jonathan works it out so that he can give messages to David when nobody understands. He knows where David's hiding, and he can go out in the country. David's hiding down in the woods. And Jonathan's going to shoot, and then he's got his little boy attendant that takes care of the arrows. And if he shoots and then sends the boy after it, and he yells, "Hey, the arrow's beyond you. You got to go further." Well, that means that David's supposed to slip off. He's in danger. But, you see, this little boy can be running after the arrow, and Jonathan can shoot another one just part of the way. And then he calls him, "Hey, the arrow's back this way." Well, that means everything's all right. And somebody just watching wouldn't know what was going on. Anyway, Jonathan is very much on David's side. He talks to his father. His father is sick in our language. And Jonathan says, "Let not the king sin against his servant. He's not sinned against thee." And he put his life in his hand and slew the Goliath, the Philistine giant. And so don't sin against the innocent. And it, for a little while, Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan. And he sweared, "As the Lord liveth, he shall not be slain." Saul vacillates. He's back and forth. And for a while, David even comes back to the court. Now the war goes on. And it says he slew the Philistines with a great slaughter. They fled from him. And then David's back playing again in court for Saul. The music to relieve his, is the word tension. Anyway, Saul again tries to just kill David with a javelin and throws it at him, trying to just pin him to the wall with it. And David fled and escaped. And then we have Saul sending messengers to David's house, where his daughter Michal, David's wife, was. And the record is Michal let David down through a window, and he fled and escaped. See, this girl, like her brother Jonathan, loved David. And this means, we're pretty sure, that their house or apartment was up on the wall, and she could let David down so he wouldn't have to go through the gate and be recognized. Now, Michal knows what's going on. After she lets David down over the wall, she takes a big idol. She says she took an image and laid it in his bed. And she put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster, his pillow, and covered it with cloth. And Saul sent messengers to take David, and she said, "He's sick, he can't come." Now, she was making that up, but this is a life and death situation, and she probably thought it would be all right. Anyway, Saul sent messengers again, saying, "Well, just bring him up to me in his bed if he's sick." And they go down, and it's discovered eventually that it's not David in the bed at all. It's this image, teraphim, is the word. And Saul said to Michal, "Why'd you fool me? Why'd you deceive me? And you sent away mine enemy, and he's escaped." And she again makes up an excuse. And the record is David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went to Naioth. In our language, when David was really in trouble, he went to see the preacher. Oh, I know Samuel was a prophet now, and he's called a seer. But David wants to be with this man of God and get his advice. There are times when we need the preacher's help, the help of some fellow Christian who's a mature person of God. And David went to Samuel and stays with him. And then it says Saul sent messengers to take David. And the whole company, these will be soldiers now, they're going to just grab David and take him off, maybe kill him, maybe take him to Saul. And it says, when they saw the company of the prophets, Samuel, you see, was with this group of prophets, the whole crowd of the messengers began to prophesy too. And this is told to Saul, so he sends other messengers, another group of soldiers. And when they come where Samuel and David are, they begin to prophesy. They go into this ecstatic worship service, into which they are so overwhelmed by the power of God's Spirit that they begin to worship again in ecstasy. And the third group did the same thing. And then the question comes up with Saul's crowd, where are Samuel and David? And the report is they're at Naioth. And so Saul himself now is looking for him. And Saul goes to Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. This is the fourth time. And it says, he went on and prophesied. And in this ecstasy, he tore off his clothes. And so, this is how God miraculously protected his servant David. And then David's going to come to Ramah, and there he's going to meet Jonathan. And he said, Jonathan, what have I done? How did I get into all this? What's mine iniquity? And what's my sin that your father is seeking my life? And Jonathan said, God forbid that your life be taken. I'm going to talk to my father, he says. My father won't do anything, either great or small, without showing it to me. Saul wanted the help and advice of his son Jonathan. And David and Jonathan renew their covenant. They swear their eternal friendship to each other. Anyway, the situation goes on in this tense fashion. David says, there's just a step between me and death. And Jonathan says, whatever you want, whatever your soul desireth, I'll do. And then they talk about the problem. They say, tomorrow's the new moon, first of the month, religious feast. And David had been a member of the royal family, and he had a regular seat. And he said, my seat's going to be empty, and it'll be perfectly obvious. And then he says, Jonathan, you tell him that I asked to go to Bethlehem to the yearly sacrifice with my family. In other words, Jonathan is helping David. Here's one of the things that God used to sustain and comfort David, his friend Jonathan. We need friends. We ought to be friends to folks in trouble the way Jonathan was.